Hey guys, Diego here, and you're listening to the Radioactive Podcast. Over the summer, with seven other teens, I learned the ins and outs of radio journalism from some amazing people here at KUOW. From learning journalism ethics, mixing audio, and finding our voice in and out of the studio, we're always progressing as radio newbies. Today, I'm going to talk with my friend Patrick Liu, who tells us about his family that's an ocean apart, but still manages to have dinner together a few times a week. Hear more on that after the break.
I'm Tan Tan, host of Second Wave, a new podcast from KUOW. My parents escaped Vietnam in 1978. They're boat people. And I've always wondered what that was like.
We're definitely in Vietnam. We're just going with it. It's not like there's any life jackets.
On the next episode, I'm going back to where it all started, Vietnam. Go to kuow.org/podcast to learn more.
Patrick!
Hey! Hi! Hey!
How are you? Oh, you said it at the same time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Better now, obviously, that you're here. So what's new? What have you been up to?
Just school, college apps, the regular old extracurriculars.
Do you still dance all the time?
Yeah, dance club's going strong.
Oh, you have a dance club?
Yeah, which I founded.
No way. That's awesome. So do you still talk to your family on Skype every week?
Oh yeah, every other weekday, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's hard having family abroad all the time, right?
Yeah, definitely. We just had Thanksgiving and I'm hearing from other people about getting together with family and I'm like, ah.
I mean, many of us live far away from the people we love. It can be hard to stay connected. But Patrick Liu explains what lengths his mom goes through to still keep in touch.
It's Monday evening. My mom, my dad, and I are sitting at the dinner table with our eyes trained on the computer screen in front of us. I see my mom's three older sisters and my grandma. They're eating brunch and we're eating dinner. They tease us for eating Costco dumplings and flaunt their own homemade ones. My mom's family lives in Tianjin, China. We're in Redmond, Washington. We only get to see them once a year, so my mom, Guoping Ma, says Skype is the next best thing.
Sitting in front of the screen is as if we are just sitting next to each other. Of course, you can't touch each other, right? But you can, it's so close.
We Skype 3 nights a week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, through the computer screen, we see my third oldest aunt take out an oxygen machine and hook it up to Grandma. My mom's eyebrows furrow. Grandma has been bedridden for almost 17 years, Mom tells me, practically since I was born. Every day she struggles with back problems, osteoporosis, a heart condition, and a number of other problems. It's a dangerous situation, but my mom can't really help. It's her sisters who take care of Grandma, and my mom feels guilty. Through these Skype calls, she wants them to know she cares.
If they don't see me show up, right, they don't see me, they don't talk to me, there might be some misconceptions or assumptions that I don't care. And that's a very uncomfortable feeling.
My parents came to the U.S. to further pursue graduate studies in 1993. It was tough. My mom wrote letters every week because Grandma didn't have a phone. But it was a sacrifice that Grandma supported.
When we were growing up, she said, oh, just disperse, scatter, don't stay home. I am 100% sure she wouldn't be happy if I were to move back. She craved to be close, right, to see her children. But she also sees that as constraining them.
My mom felt comfortable leaving the family because everyone was pretty healthy. Plus, at the time, Mom only thought she would stay in America for 5 or 6 years. But at the end of those 6 years, it became clear that my parents were settling down here. They both found jobs, and I was born. Mom tried to bring grandma and my second oldest aunt to the US, but my aunt was denied a visa, so that hope was dashed. Then, grandma's health took a downturn, and she became bedridden. We couldn't move back, and they couldn't move here, so we would have to rely on technology to stay in contact. Thankfully, by 2004, we were able to start video calling. When we first started using this technology, we video called with mom's family every night, even on weekends. And on Friday, we also called dad's family since they too live in Tianjin, China. Recently, we cut back to 3 days a week. Grandma relies on these Skype calls. She keeps a small calendar on the bed and she counts the days by it, so she knows when we will call in. Grandma loves how it feels like we're face to face.
My mom said that it just says good.
Being able to stay in contact with grandma while her health is on the decline is so important to mom, and here's why. At age 16, she wasn't around when her dad suddenly died. So now, mom doesn't want to miss a single opportunity.
As a mom's getting older and older, I almost feel that. So every time I talk to her, then that's one less opportunity, maybe down the road.
The fact grandma is even still alive today is all thanks to my mom's three sisters, who have lived together with grandma and cared for her for 17 years.
If not for them, grandma would have been long gone. I am 100% positive she would have been long gone.
And that's why this whole situation became much harder last year. My second oldest aunt was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and has been in chemotherapy. So now, my two remaining aunts are taking care of my grandma and my aunt. For my mom, it's been unbearable to see them struggle like this from afar, especially my aunt.
I don't know how many times I cried during that period of time. I knew that she was in such pain. I just want to make her feel better.
My mom's taking video calls from her sisters at 2 or 3 in the morning when they needed to cry with her. And she gives medical advice and financial support whenever they need it. It's hard to watch for me and my dad, Si Yuan Liu.
She was really stressed last year. There were times when they were all breaking down. But those were really important moments for all of them to get through it together.
But sometimes, for all of my mom's efforts, it's just not enough. Like when, during a Skype call, grandma suddenly feels pain or has a shortness of breath, and my aunts rush in to help her.
When you are witnessing an emergency situation, you just feel so helpless. And what do? Those are the moments that you feel that Skype doesn't help at all, right? And only being physically there will be helpful.
That's why, after I head off to college, my mom wants to visit her mom and her sisters more often. Through all this, my mom knows there's no real solution to grandma's illness, and the only question left is when grandma will leave us. But she says, there's no point in stressing over when people will be gone.
While they are here, do something for them.
For Radioactive, I'm Patrick Liu.
Wow, now I'm like remembering it all, and that was such a beautiful story, and I think the message that your mom kind of gives throughout is so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Diego.
And also your voice is great. It's so clear. You've definitely got that that good sound.
Yeah, I was worried about that not being clear enough.
No, it was perfect. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions about your story?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So how's your grandma doing?
She's doing well. Lately, she's had enough energy to stay up through most of our calls. They're still using the oxygen regulator rather frequently. Recently, she hasn't been sleeping too much during the day, which my aunts are thankful for, because that means she doesn't turn into an owl and stay awake the whole night, and they have to take care of her. So that's good.
Oh, that's great. So you guys still talk a lot, I assume?
Yeah.
That's good to hear she's doing well. Do you hope to visit her sometime soon?
Yeah, this next summer, we're going back as usual.
Oh, you guys usually go in the summer. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, most every summer we go back.
So lots of people say millennials don't know how to stay in touch because they're always on their phones. But what role do you think technology plays in staying connected with your family?
You know, Skype, of course. We stay in contact with them. You know, the fact that we can video call and be able to talk and see each other practically in real time, it's really amazing. You know, when we're calling during dinner, it really feels like we're right next to them. When we're talking, sharing a meal, it feels like we're pretty much there, even though when we're not. My parents are able to stay in contact with them at any time using WeChat, which is like China's Facebook, basically. We're really able to talk with them at any time, whenever they need to talk about something important or just when we want to catch up.
Yeah, I think that's great that it can bring people together in situations where they otherwise wouldn't be able to. And I remember your mom saying about how she liked the different, or it was funny that you guys ate different foods and they commented on it.
Yeah. You know, my family situation isn't super unique in the sense that in our modern globalized society, a lot of kids are moving away from home and facing the situation where they aren't able to take care of their parents when they might want to. So being able to stay in contact with your grandparents, with your parents, through these devices, even when they're in a different state or in a different country, it's quite amazing.
Yeah, I think that was a really interesting feeling that your mom had of, like, that I think a lot of people probably have, of wanting to stay with their parents because they want to take care of them, but also knowing that they need to go. Do you ever find yourself feeling like that when you want to leave for college?
Yeah, this, doing this story really made me think about how I want to take care of my parents in the future, or how I want to stay in contact, not just with my parents, but with my relatives. Since I won't be coming home every night to Skype with them. Yeah, I've been wondering. I actually asked my parents and my relatives one time during a call, and they were just like, it's fine, just Skype and WeChat, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, of course you could Skype with them from anywhere.
Yeah.
That's the great part about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think was the hardest part for you about telling this story?
Our family isn't the most open about our family business most of the time. Gathering the courage to open up about this was hard, not just for me, but you know, my mom, my dad, and my relatives too. I think that was probably the hardest part.
Of course. So what did you learn about your mom, especially during the production of this story, that you didn't know before?
Most of the details about the story I knew beforehand. Just because, you know, we've been calling the last 11 or 12 years, and this whole experience is not just hers, but mine and my dad's as well. I did learn a lot about her resilience. Hearing her expound on her feelings gave me a more concrete understanding of what it's been like for her. Although I've seen her go through this time, and I've been with her during, you know, those 3 a.m. Skype calls, watching grandma, you know, in pain. I hadn't heard her talk about these experiences so openly before, and I learned what it's like to be the child of a senior citizen who's going through this kind of thing. Because I don't really know what it's like, and I won't really know until I'm an adult, and, you know, I'm gonna be, well, we'll see, but you know, I might be miles away from my parents, and if they're sick, maybe I'll think back to this time and take some advice from my mom.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm sure it was a really vulnerable place for her to be, having to share the emotions she has on that, because they seem like really personal. So is there anyone that you'd like to thank for helping you tell this story?
Oh, of course. I'd love to thank Mary Heise, my mentor, and Jenny Sarno, my editor. They were wonderful from the very start. They helped me with so much, with cutting down everything I had to say, simplifying everything. And everyone else at Radioactive, Leela, Anne, Angela, Carol, and all of you, the Radioactive kids, you, Diego, Leah, everyone else. And then my mom, the fact that she was able to gather the courage to talk about something so personal and a story that I think will be meaningful to a lot of people. I'm really grateful that she took the time out to talk to me about this. Because we, if you include the pre-interview, interview, and supplemental interviews, we had about 3.5 hours of tape. So I'm grateful that she took all that time to talk with me. I want to thank my dad, too, for talking about this, and to my relatives for being so supportive through this whole process and being so willing to play along.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for letting me interview today and talking with me over the phone.
Thank you, Diego.
Yeah, no problem. Hope you have a good day.
You too.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Looks like you guys made it to the end of another episode of the Radioactive Podcast. What do you find hardest about staying connected with family? How do you think technology has impacted the way that we keep in touch? Share your thoughts with us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media, or on Twitter and Instagram at KOW Radioactive. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And either way, please review the podcast on iTunes. I really appreciate seeing all the feedback from you all on the new episodes. Next week, you'll hear the last story made during this summer's workshop. So make sure to mark your calendar, or if you're feeling adventurous, sing the happy birthday song 60,480 times. And when you're done, the next episode will be ready for your ears. We'll hear a story told by me about my grandmother, Beatriz Alvarez, who fell in love in an unlikely time and place, a Chilean prison cell after the coup of Salvador Allende. I want to give a quick thanks to Aliyah Masaliar for her help putting this all together, our editor Mary Heisey, Brian Freeland for editing the podcast, Patrick for his eye-opening story, and to the rest of the Radioactive crew. Once again, Diego Villarroel here, and I'll see you all next week.